When Big Mobile charges you an arm and a leg, they're taking your money and your power. And your arm and leg. Boost Mobile gives your power back with an unlimited plan for $25 a month on one of America's largest 5G networks. We can't give you back your arm and your leg because we're not qualified surgeons. Unless you're an iguana who can grow limbs back. Switch to Boost and get an unlimited plan for $25 a month. Boost Mobile. Unleash your power. New customers only. One line, $25 per month with auto pay. Additional restrictions apply. See BoostMobile.com for details.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
Changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left. I'm Radio Pastor Ernie Sanders, and indeed, this is the voice of the Christian resistance on this 19th day of September 2022. And tonight, our producer is none other than Courageous Craig.
Good evening, everybody.
Now, also, we have, with her vow of silence, she has taken a vow of silence, not to break it. And right next to her is Pastor Hal Larson to see that she don't break her vow of silence. And that's Lock and Load Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
She broke it. There, take her on out now. Okay, already. Way out yonder, we have Pastor Joel Larson. Now, whenever you have two Larsons together, you have larceny, right? Is that
no.
right? Huh?
You have brothers in the Lord.
Hey, yeah. Joe, somebody wanted to know if I was your son.
And don't say who.
I'm probably old enough to be your father, but no, I don't think
so. No, you guys are old on old, believe me. I know. All right. All righty. But now we have a very, very special guest tonight. And known this one for a very, very long time. We're going to find out about mechanisms of injury. We have Dr. Sherry Tenpenny. Say hello.
Oh, hello. I didn't know if there was another sentence coming after that.
Nope.
Good evening. Hello.
Well, it's good to have you here. Sherry, what we're going to do with a little bit of scripture that really applies to our society today, and then we're going to carry you all the way to 11, and we know that you have to get up at 3 in the morning, so we're going to let you get out of here at 11 and get some shut-eye. So let's start out here. I'm going to start in the book of Ecclesiastes, because this really has to do with what we're talking about. In chapter 10, Ecclesiastes chapter 10, and we're going to read verses 1 through 5. Dead flies cause the ointment of an apothecary to send forth a stinking savior. So doth a little folly with him that is in reputation of wisdom and honor. Now, we know the apothecary or the perfumer. We know that that's where natural medicines come from, real natural medicines that heal, that cure the disease. And we know that the pharmakeia literally is wizardry or witchcraft, and we know that that word often means poison. And this is one of the things that you have been so very good at exposing what has taken place in the pharmakeia. But here's where we're coming to. A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart is at his left. Yes, also when he that is a fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he saith to everyone that he is a fool. Now, with that, when God calls you a whore, well, guess what? You're a whore, okay? Now, we're not talking tonight about sexual whoredom, or as normally that's referring to a female. Tonight, we're talking about political whoring, political whoring. And we see that all through Scripture. On Hosea, he speaks to it, Isaiah and Jeremiah. And where he's speaking to the men about have gone a whoring with other gods or other systems. Today, they've gone a whoring after, well, you hear the pro-choice movement, the pro-choice. They've gone a whoring after the gods of sacrifice of children. You hear the LGBTQ. God calls it abomination, but they've made a god out of sodomy. They have not only made an extremely perverse and sinful lifestyle, not only have they legitimized it or tried to, but they make it preferable over what is normal, what is natural, what is healthy. Same thing with this whole transgender, the drag queen, the MSM, that's the mainstream media, the human trafficking, Satanism, pornography, lying, stealing, deep state, the entire Democratic Party, and some of the rhinos in the Republican Party. But here now, this is why he says here that when the fool walketh by the way, his wisdom faileth him, and he says to everyone that he is a fool. Now listen, let's see what's happening today. Now we believe that lying is a sin. They don't. We believe in the sanctity of marriage. One man, one woman, one lifetime. They believe marriage is whatever they want it to be. With whatever. Not just two, whoever, but with whatever. Animals. They can marry animals. And so we believe that there are only two genders, male and female. They believe that you don't really know what a man or a woman is. The AMA now has said that they're not going to no longer put male or female on birth certificates because they're not really sure if there are genders. Okay? Does that definitely qualify as being a fool?
Definitely.
No. Yes.
Definitely.
We believe that, well, again, they believe that you don't really know. You don't really know what a man or a woman is. We believe that killing babies is murder. They believe it's a constitutional right. We believe that only women can have babies. And if you're pregnant, you're a woman. Believe me on this one. If you're pregnant, you're a woman. You're not a man. Okay. Now, they don't know that. They're not sure of that. Okay. They believe that anyone can conceive and deliver a baby. We believe that only females can have menstrual periods. They believe that anyone who wants to can have one. I don't know why anybody would want to have one, but, okay. Now, listen to this. We believe that people need to work and provide for their own way and support their own way. They believe, like AOC says, that the government should support people, and that if you don't want to work, you shouldn't have to. You should be supported by people that do work. And so I'm going to stop right there, and that is our little Bible study, because we're living in a time the Bible calls the evil day. It also calls it the time of sorrows. And this is the time we need some sanity. And with that, this is why we've got Sherry here with us tonight. She's going to tell us about the mechanisms of injury. You're up, Sherry.
Well, I just wanted to make a couple of comments about what you were just saying there about the craziness and where we are and where why this is just such an abomination to God. You know, I write two Substacks a week. One Substack is called Eye on the Evidence. If you go to Dr. Tenpenny, drtenpenny.com, I'm sorry, drtenpenny.substack.com, drtenpenny.substack.com, and you search for Eye on the Evidence, like I-E-Y-E, Eye on the Evidence. Every Saturday, I post an article from the main, that I take a peer-reviewed study for the mainstream medical journal, where I take a topic and I do research on it and I post it. The last 2 weeks, it was a two-part series on COVID and the loss of smell. So it was part one and part two. And the previous ones I've done are about like myocarditis and rubbery thick clots. And so there's a lot of things there. It's Eye on the Evidence. It's drtenpenny.substack.com. And then on Sunday, I write a more inspirational Substack. It's called Tenpenny on Walking with God. It's called On Walking with God, and it's just tenpennywalkingwithgod.substack.com. And 2 weeks ago, I post one of those every Sunday morning. More is kind of an inspiration, and you know, we do, it's like a Bible study. And honestly, Pastor Ernie, I mean, I think that I spend more time. I do it more for me than I do for anybody else because I love to write. And it's a good time for me to do my own personal Bible study and spend time reading and digging through things in the Word and putting things in terms of current events. And last week, the Substack that I did on last Sunday morning, 2 weeks ago, this last Sunday morning, like yesterday, the one that I did was on courage. And last Sunday, the previous Sunday, the one that I did was called What Was It Like As in the Days of Noah? And I used the Bible verse where Jesus said, no one knows the time and the hour, but just as in the days of Noah, it will be as the Son of Man comes. In those days, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage. Right up until the day when Noah went into the ark, they were unaware of what was happening until the flood came and swept them all away. That's how it will be when the Son of Man comes. And so I go through and we talk about that a little bit, and then I go backwards in time, back to Leviticus chapter 18, where all these laws are laid out. You won't do this. You won't have sexual intercourse with your mother, your sister, your brother's wife, and all this other stuff. And I'm like, why in the world did they have to go through all of that? You know, it would be just sort of like what we would consider to be normal manners and appropriate living. Well, it was because in those days, like before the flood, and you know, when all these things were happening, and when the Nephilim came back after the flood, they were living in the lands of the Canaanites. They were living in the lands of child sacrificing people and people that just had sex with, I think, anybody who laid still long enough. They were having sex with people and everywhere. So they lay out this big long thing, including you shall not sleep with a man as a woman, it is detestable, and that you will not sleep with animals. And what actually inspired me to write that whole Substack was that I had seen an article posted in News Punch that was talking about German zoophiles who had taken to the streets to protest against laws that forbade sex with animals. According to the protesters, German citizens should have the right to engage in sexual relationships with animals, including pet dogs. Called zoophiles, these perverted humans, both men and women, believe it's acceptable to be sexually intimate with an animal, and they want the LGBTQ+ rainbow movement to add the Z to the name. Now, what's interesting and what part of the article that I wrote about was the fact that in almost every state in the country, there are laws that prohibit engaging with sex with animals. But the way that the laws are written, interesting, is that they are written to protect the animals. And I got all of this information off of a website called animallaw.info that says that there's 48 states that criminalize engaging in sex with animals. And it's written that way so that they are not, it's not animal abuse. They are not abusing these animals. I mean, think about the craziness of what that is. And how bad we are at this point in time, and where this is leading us as a culture, and what does that look like before God?
Well, you know, it's an interesting thing because the one of the best-known professors, and I'm having one of my senior moments right now, but he was the ethics professor. Joe, maybe you can help me out if you know who I'm talking about. at
the one that you could kill children a couple months after birth.
Up until two, but yeah. He came out and he made the statements. Oh, we've mentioned his name so many times, but he's as far as I know, he's still there. Okay, and the ethics professor at one of the major universities. I think it was Stanford. I'm not sure, but. Anyhow, he came out and he made the statements that not only could you kill children until 2 years after, but that, now listen to this, it was moral to have sex with animals as long as it was consensual sex.
Right.
In other words, if you and the goat had a conversation and, you came to an agreement, were boundaries, what you couldn't do, or maybe a cow or a horse, okay. But he went on to say that with the exception of chickens, because having sex with chickens could be lethal for the chickens. And my question is, how does he know? Okay. Because these people, this is the insanity that you have out there. And this guy's the ethics. He is the ethics professor.
I cannot think of his name. We talked about him so many times.
Yeah. Yeah. We want to black him out, I think. But anyhow, this is the times that we're in today, and the Bible has a name for that. And he was given over to what kind of a mind?
Reprobate.
Reprobate. Yes. He was given over to a reprobate mind, which is basically a form of criminal insanity. And that's where these people are. I mean, think about this. When the AMA, and they have lost tremendous amount of credibility. I mean, and you know what, Sherry? People do not trust their medical doctors anymore. They don't. They just don't. They've lost so much credibility. But for the AMA to come out and make a statement that they really don't know what a woman is, it's an unbelievable statement, okay? And so, anyhow, that's where we're at today in this society, but it's exactly where God's Word, the Bible, said we would be in 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're exactly and precisely right there, okay? So we have a timeline. We know where we're at, and so we know that in that passage, if you look at it, remember in other places he tells you in later times or end times, but he gets very specific. He says in the last days. So he's talking about the very end of the sixth dispensation period. That means we are coming very close to it. Peter Sanger, that's right. Somebody just called. Yeah, Peter Sanger.
Oh, thank you. I was going nuts. I know that name, and I was just driving myself nuts. You know?
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, that was who it was, Peter Sanger, the ethics professor. And he makes these statements, and look at Jacques Cousteau. I mean, Jacques Cousteau was lauded as one of the great minds. And what did he say? He said, the answer to world hunger is very simple. Nature shows you that the strong eat the weak. People are a great source of protein, and that the strong should be eating the weak. That's called cannibalism.
Yes.
But
it's anti-Christ. Notice all these things are anti-Christ. They're against everything our Lord and Savior said. you can tell right away. It doesn't take long to figure out they're evil.
You're telling me. All righty. With that, Sherry, tell us about mechanisms of injury.
Well, what we did is just as a backtrack a little bit, Pastor, is that we had a... I saw this all coming, and I've been on your show a couple of times talking about it since March of 2020. In all of 2020, we talked about the myth of the mask, the nonsense of the social distancing, the exposure of the fraud of all this PCR testing, and all they were really doing, and it's proven out to be true, is it's data collecting and DNA harvesting of all the people that they stuck Q-tips up their nose and sent it off to labs that were either owned by, probably by Google, like... 23andMe is the founder of 23andMe is the wife of one of the Google founders, and so they collect all this data of us by our DNA. And then because the shots were released in December of 2020, which was Moderna and Pfizer shots were released then, And then in February of 22, the J&J shot and the AstraZeneca shot were released. I spent all of 21 talking about the whole problems with the shots. And I had uncovered, and we did two different webinars on the 20 mechanisms, and then the second one was on the 20 more mechanisms of injury about how the COVID shots can make you sick and kill you. And so we'd had a lot of requests from people saying, you know, I'm kind of new to this. I'm just kind of getting my head around the fact that that these shots can be harmful and there's things that I should know about. Could you do another one of those webinars? And so as I was going through, and I was just going to do kind of a review and an update, it was going to be like a year in review, but I found there was so much more information that had happened since July of last year, so in this last year, that this is a whole new webinar. It's all brand new information. You know, it's sort of a review of some of the things we talked about before, but there's so much new information in it. Actually, I had my staff going through the PowerPoint today to just look for, you know, misspelled words and things like that, and they're like, this is amazing. And I've even heard you talk about it almost every day for the last 2 years, and this is just amazing what you put together. So we're going to be doing a bit of a year in review. We're going to be talking about the new shots that are coming up, what to look out for, why going, just because it's new and it's not messenger RNA-based, it doesn't mean it's any more safe. We're going to talk about the difference between spike protein-induced disease, antibody-induced disease, and if you've had the shots, things that you need to look for, that you need to go get early treatment, and if you haven't had the shots, things to watch for in your friends and family to know that this is truly a vaccine side effect, and they need to try to get oxygenated, and they need to get good vitamins, they need to get hydrated, they need to get anticoagulated early on. And we're going to talk about those things on the webinar. I'm going to do a big comparison between last year and this year on the destruction of the immune system. We're going to talk about the fact that Pfizer knew there were more than 1,100, almost 1,200 diseases that they knew these shots were going to cause before they even released the shots. So when I get questions all the time, people come up to me or they'll send me a text or primarily an email and say, you know, my fill in the blank, my husband, my spouse, my neighbor, my friend, my colleague, my cousin, blah, blah, blah. My person I know had two shots and a booster, and now they have XYZ condition. Do you think it was the shot? And my answer is uniformly yes, unless you can prove it wasn't on that list of 1,200 diseases they knew these shots were going to cause, then the answer is yes. I mean, one of my substacks is about the COVID shots and skin diseases. The ones I'm going to do next week are the COVID shots and blindness and eye diseases. It's like the list is endless of what these shots can cause. We're going to talk about the timelines of how they came to market. We're going to talk about the problems with children and what's happening with giving these kids these shots. And that's another substack that I wrote. I wrote a substack on called When Babies Go Missing. And it talks about all the different things of why these infants should never get the shots, why pregnant women should never, ever, ever get the shot. You shouldn't get the shot. You know, you should not deliver the baby and then get a shot and continue to nursing, because the messenger RNA and the polyethylene glycol and who knows what else is in those shots, because they haven't been fully tested. All of those things could very well be going through your breast milk right directly into your newborn infant. We're going to talk about boosters and variants. I'm going to talk a little bit about monkeypox, polio, and Ebola, because it's just another turn of the fear crank. And throughout the entire webinar, I'm going to be reminding people that in the Bible, there are more than 300 verses that say fear not. And if God bothered to repeat himself that many times, it's probably important. And if you're feeling fearful about anything, whether it's about COVID, whether it's about polio or monkeypox or Ebola, or the economy, or what's going to happen on September 24th that we don't know, and probably nothing. It's probably just another big fear factor going up.
Let me jump in here for one.
So every time you fear that, go to the Bible, go to the Lord in prayer, ask him to remove the fear from you. Don't succumb, don't get sucked in by it, and don't bow your knee to the pharmacopoeia.
You're absolutely right. You don't want to. That's 360. In fact, it's 366 times in the Bible. And I was in the middle of sending you. I think I sent you about 200 of those before I got sidetracked and on those different verses. But here, I hope you found a really good and place. You know, a secure location to do your webinar from, because believe me, out there, you're Big Pharma, you're a major threat to Big Pharma, and so, and we've seen what's happening. We are under a dictatorship right now. We are in a police state. Right now we are in a police state where they're arresting, and we have political prisoners, a lot of political prisoners, just like in the old Soviet gulag. But we're going to go to a break, Shirley. Now I'm going to play this little clip because it has exactly what you're talking about to do with that. Instead of normally we have a song during the break, but I'm going to play this little clip, and then when we come back from this clip, you can comment on it, because I know that you have a lot to say about this. So bring it up. We'll be back.
I came before you guys a year ago. I'm a nurse, or at least I was, at Rady Children's in the cardiovascular intensive care unit until Nathan and his misinformation pandemic caused me to lose my job. I took care of those children who came in with myocarditis after the vaccine. And I talked to the doctors because I was a charge nurse, saying, why aren't we reporting these to VAERS? Who is going to report these to VAERS? It was an unspoken thing that we were not allowed to talk about openly on the unit. I've worked for 13 years in this community, taking care of some of the sickest patients. The day before I was taken away from my position, I was actively giving compressions to a child, pushing Abby, pushing calcium into his veins to keep him alive. And we did. And he went home. And yet, I was ridiculed by those who were supposed to be my colleagues and my friends. I am the face of your misinformation campaign, Nathan. I am the one who lost my career in pediatric cardiovascular ICU care. I took care of children who had COVID. I never got COVID in the hospital. I tested twice a week. I wore my PPE because I loved my job. And I loved this community.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. There was a nurse. We played several of these clips. We played about a week or so ago, two nurses that were fired. They were removed because they were purposely taking people in this hospital, and I believe it was a New York hospital that we gave the name of the hospital out, and they were giving them remdesivir. People that were coming in, and these nurses were saying it doesn't matter what you could have anything, like a cut finger, come in for a gunshot, and they'll mark you down as a COVID patient, and the first thing they're doing is they're giving you remdesivir and then putting you on one of those resuscitators or whatever, and you're dead. And these nurses were saying they're killing these patients, and they were trying to tell people, and they got fired. And here, like this nurse was saying, what they're doing to these little children, this cardiovascular thing. Go ahead. Do you want to comment on that, Dr. Penney?
Well, two things. First is physicians are complicit in murder.
Well, you're telling me.
There was actually a case that was settled. I believe it was in Alabama. I may not be right about the state, but was settled that nurses can no longer just say, "Oh, I was just following orders," because if the patient died and they knew better, they are now going to be held accountable. Amen. And so it's incumbent on the nurses. It's always been the nursing profession, for as long as there has been a nursing profession, to stand in the gap and protect the patients from unwielding doctors, and particularly ignorant doctors now who refuse to look at any of the information. I mean, 2.5 years of this stuff, and they are still pushing these shots. They should all be charged with murder.
Amen. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And every single one of them, and if I have anything to do with it, somewhere in my lifetime, if the Lord leads me into it, I'll lead the charge to make that happen, because they are standing behind the PREP Act and various laws that they can't be sued for malpractice if the patient was given a diagnosis of COVID, whether they had COVID or not. If it was on their medical records that they had COVID, the doctors are protected by law from being able to sue them for giving them the wrong medicine and the wrong dose at the wrong length of time, and patients died because of medical malpractice. And it's going to take an uprising of the people who lost their loved ones in hospitals to these doctors who refused to give ivermectin, who laughed the patients out of the hospital, who rolled their eyes at them and disparaged them when they wouldn't give life-saving medications at the appropriate dose at the right length of time, and the patient died. There needs to be an uproar all across America and around the world against the doctors, and quit treating the doctors like they're sacrosanct. They're human beings just like anybody else that happen to wear a white coat. And they're complicit for refusing to look at what the American frontline doctors said about hydroxychloroquine, for refusing to look at what Pierre Corey's group said about ivermectin, about what the FLCCC people talked about, the hospital protocols that save lives, for refusing to do the Zelenko protocol, for refusing to write the right medications for their patients for budesimide, and I could go on and on and on. They are all complicit in murder. And I hope there's a bunch of your doctors who did that listening to this and are going to look themselves in the mirror tomorrow morning when they're brushing their teeth and say, oh, my God, it's time for me to get educated. It's time for me to go to the Lord and confess and repent of my sin of being stubborn and ignorant. And, oh, Lord, forgive me for doing what I did. Make me cease and desist and no more. Go forth and sin no more. Go and learn these things. Stop what you're doing. Confess and repent, and the Lord will forgive you. And you then need to forgive yourself, and you need to go forth and do something different.
We used to hear physician heal yourself, but now it's physician repent for not healing others. And you know that advice which you just said too, it's time for. Let me tell you, these pastors that have these churches that actually use them to give out the shot. Okay, I don't want to call it a vax. It's a bioweapon, the kill shot, if you will. Those pastors should know better. They really should know better than to do that. And I think they do know better. I think they're giving in, because when I understand that that there's government money funds come from these churches that allow their facilities to be used to put out that poisonous poke. But it's an amazing thing. So
I'm telling you, Pastor, you know, I have been so strong in this, and I have to get stronger. I mean, like I said, the Lord told me at the beginning of 2020 when I said, okay, I'm tired of talking about COVID, Lord, what do you want me to talk about this year? And it was so clear to me in such a loud voice, repent. You have to get people to understand they have violated the temple of the Holy Spirit. They've done it by volunteered to do it whether they want to or not. The first step of repentance is accepting responsibility for what you did, irrespective of the why. You have to accept that I sat in the chair. I said yes. I signed the informed consent. I rolled up my sleeve. I allowed them to do this either out of fear, which I should have taken to the Lord in prayer, out of convenience and about your ego, or because you were coerced by your husband, your spouse, your boss, your neighbor, your adult children, whoever it was. Stop blaming them. You did it. And take it to the Lord in prayer and say, I am so sorry. I have sinned. Because the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if you confess your sins, he will in his righteousness forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So he may even in his mercy cleanse you from what these shots are doing, not may do, are doing to your body. But it all comes down to repent. And it all means you have to accept responsibility. That's the first step. And that doesn't mean crawling around on the floor on shards of glass and fogging yourself. It means looking yourself in the mirror and getting really real with the choices you made as a doctor, as a nurse, as a physical therapist, as a pastor, as all of these people. You actually have to accept responsibility for what is happening to people out there right now.
Well, you're absolutely right. And listen, when you start that charge, look next to you, because I'll be right there. I mean, and I've got two other pastors here with me tonight that will gladly run that. Yeah.
Amen.
It's not over with until we win. And so, you know, count me in on that. But here's the thing. We know why these doctors are doing this. We know why they're doing it. First of all, it's job security. They don't want to lose their job, okay? And it's money. They make big money by giving that remdesivir. There's large amounts of money. Now, the Lord Jesus didn't stutter, not a bit, when he said, you cannot serve God and mammon. And that's exactly what they're doing. They're serving mammon and not God. And they need to realize that, and they need to repent of that, okay? And, you know, here, you know, a lot of them try to say, well, you know, this is, you know, I'm just a doctor, and this is what the big boys in Washington are telling me I have to do. And, you know, Peter said, what? We will obey God rather than man. And that's the message we have to get out.
And since when, doctor, did you suddenly declare that you are illiterate and that you cannot read for yourself and that you follow blindly the CDC guidelines, which they have changed over and over and over again, and have now even upfront and admitted that they were wrong? Oh, we just follow the CDC guidelines. It's a cop-out. It's an excuse for not looking at the medical literature and standing strong in your conviction to first do no harm.
You know, it's an interesting thing because, like, when we start out talking about the insanity, what is wrong with these people? Are they crazy? But there's actually, they have a strategy with what they're doing with this lunacy. You know, Karl Marx came up with a strategy. He said that you've got to keep the opposition off balance. You've got to keep them afraid and uncertain. And if you can do that, they're much easier to control. And that's exactly what they're doing. In other words, CDC comes out and tells you, yeah, we made a mistake. Like, what's her name? The head of that CDC, that woman. Well, we made a mistake. Yeah, we messed up big time, but now we know what we're doing, okay? But that'll change in another week. And it's like, say one thing. Mark said, say one thing, say another. Go this way, go that way, okay? That's exactly what they're doing. That's the strategy they're using. It's like people think, what in the world? They're so confused about this is total insanity. But that insanity literally is their strategy.
Yeah,
and I think
it is. Ignorance of the law is no defense in the court. In a court, you know, ignorance of the law and saying I just didn't know. When you're standing in front of the Lord and having your life review, and you say, "I'm really sorry, I just didn't know I was killing people." What do you think Jesus would say about that?
Well, I think these nurses that are whistleblowers, praise God, thank the good Lord for them, bless them for doing that. Because I hope that one that we just listened to come out, and I hope she calls them out by name.
Oh, that was the other thing I was going to say, was that all of you nurses out there that are listening to this, you know, we're hiring. We're hiring nurses. We're looking for RNs, nurse practitioner, and a front desk manager for our new clinics that we're opening up across Northeast Ohio. And we're hiring. And I thought that we would get a lot of people who didn't want to take the shot and would be responding. We placed ads a lot of different places. So if anybody's out there listening and wants to be in a shot-free, mask-free place that praises the Lord and does his work all day long, you know, get in touch with us. We're hiring.
All right, Sherry, can you give them a website or can you give them a phone number or both? Because there are a lot of people listening to this, and they're looking for work, these nurses that have been fired or lost their jobs because of they refused to take the poisonous poke.
Yeah, if you go to Tenpenny, my last name, T-E-N-P-E-N-N-Y, Tenpenny, then E as in Edward, C as in Charlie, P as in Peter, TenpennyECP.com, and at the top of the page, I think it actually even says, applying for a job or something like that. But look at that website. That's what we're doing. And there's email addresses on there where you can contact us and get in contact. We've been trying for the last couple of months to try to get hold of people that we're hiring. We're particularly looking for a nurse practitioner, RN, possibly an LPN, and for sure one or two front desk people. They're like medical assistants that also are willing to do scheduling and work at the front desk.
Very good.
And And I hope that all the rest of you guys will come into our webinar on Saturday. And you can, while you're at if you go to drtenpenny.com, and I think there's links to our website at the top of drtenpenny.com, too. And if you go to drtenpenny.com and just scroll down to the middle of the page, you can see about our webinar this coming Saturday, where we're going to talk about the COVID shots that are coming down the pike. We're going to talk about the diseases that are coming. And, yes, a little bit about things you can do. You can't completely detox, but we can compare. We can know what diseases are coming and what to watch for. And you need to get hold of a holistic practitioner that can do the best they can to restore your health.
That, you know, that's, you're bringing this right at the right time, because I think we're kind of seeing a little bit of the quiet before the storm. This is going to be a dark, cold winter in this country. And not only that, but the Democrats, the deep state, the Democrats, they cannot afford to have an honest and fair election. They cannot afford that if they have that. And this stuff, too, about them holding on to the Senate. There is no way in the world that they're going to hold on to that Senate if we have a legitimate election. It won't happen. And the House will go down. So because of that, you know, they are to election fraud. The Democratic Party, they are to election fraud. When Elvis was to rock and roll, and Muhammad Ali was to boxing. When it comes to election fraud, you can't beat the Democrats. And so we have to get prepared. Now, I hope you have a good, secure, safe place to do your webinar, because you are a threat to Big Pharma. And I'm with you 100%. These people need to be brought to justice, Sherry. And we do have some of the congressmen out there with us, like Rand Paul. Rand Paul is one of those that agrees they need to be brought to justice. Matt Gaetz, Jim Jordan, there's a number that are with us on that. But we need to bring them to justice for doing what they've done. And, when you start your charge, give me a call. I'll be there with you.
I will. And we'll take all of your dedicated prayer warrior listeners along with us.
All righty. Very good.
Dr. Tenpenny, I found something I've got to ask you about. I think with all the other things going on, they're hiding something. I found an article, Live Action News, where biotech company created mouse embryos from stem cells, kept them alive, and they now want to make human embryos, creating clones, to be harvested for body parts. And the idea that they could make a lot of money, they could clone themselves, people could clone themselves as embryos from their own stem cells, and they could grow their own hearts, own, you know, kidneys to replace, etc. But the interesting thing, this company, this biotech firm, says that these are, well, they're not real. They are synthetic. They're not real embryos. They're only able to 95% similar to the, well, like in the case of mice, the embryos were 95% similar to a real mouse, or to the mouse they were cloned from. Sounds like to me they're trying to play God, create life. They're trying to go where I don't think God ever intended man to go. But I think it's that love of money, that lure of power, fame, money, wealth, creating the fountain of youth. And I just want your commentary on it, because to me, I don't see this as synthetic. Anything that's 95% exact copy of the real thing is not exactly what I would call synthetic, would you?
No, and they've already cloned humans. They've already done it. They're being able to clone and create a literal human being without sperm or egg. And this is all part of what's going on in the backdrop of, you know, of the transhumanism movement, the satanic cult that this entire organization of the World Health Organization is. And they're the person who has their ear and is leading the way is, you know, Yuval Noah Harari, who said that humans are now hackable organisms, and we are gods. We can create gods. We don't have to believe in this pie in the sky thing, you know, anymore. It's a real thing. It's a real thing that we can be God, and we can create humans, and we can create anything that we want. This is the guy who's got the ear of all the billionaires moving this movement forward. And so it should be of no surprise that it becomes more dark and more sinister. And this isn't something that they just contrived on the back of a napkin after dinner one night a couple of years ago. It's been going on since the 20s, probably before that. Actually, I honestly believe it's been going on since the Garden of Eden. You know, when God said, you know, I will strike your seed will be at enmity to her seed. And when you look up the word enmity, what does it really mean? Deep hatred. Deep, yeah. Profound hatred is what that word means. This has been going on, you know, the good versus evil forever. And Satan's last hurrah is coming, and it's going to get really bad. And, you know, Jesus himself said, you know, lest the days be shortened, there no humans would be left. So how bad does it have to get before that happens? Pretty bad.
Well, Satan said he wanted to be what? As the Most High. Well, here, if you can, A, create life, you become God. And if you can create a 95% life that you can use just for spare parts to try and keep you from aging, growing old, according to the Renewal Bio website, that this new thing that they're working on, quote, wants to make humanity younger and healthier by leveraging the power of the new stem cell technology. They want to fight aging, disease, blah, blah, blah. But I noticed fighting aging came before disease, infertility, all kinds of other things. But we're going to fight aging so we can live longer forever. You know, God said what the age of man will be 120 years, and I have a feeling he will end things before science ever comes up with a way to extend that.
For sure. I hope so.
Well, don't forget, remember what it was that brought the flood on to begin with. Remember you had these fallen angels, and they, what were they doing? They were changing the DNA in humans by taking women cohabitating with the women. And that's exactly what they're doing now. Now, here are 6,000 years later, and here's the other thing, too. Most of your theologians and historians will tell you that the population of the earth at the time of the flood was just about exactly what it is now, just right around 8 billion people. And so, remember, God is immutable. He does things the same way over, because he gets them right all the time. So we're seeing a whole lot of signs and a lot of reasons for us to think, well, you know what, as they're doing it again, God is about ready to move. So there you go. Now, normally we don't take calls, Sharon, I don't know, but we have a guy out there, Clifford, and you're his hero. And so he thinks that the sun rises and sets on you. And so we're going to let Clifford ask you a question. It'll make his day. Now, he might even propose, but go ahead, Cliff, you're in.
Yeah, Sherry, hello?
Hello.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of yours. I do recommend the book, The Psychology of Totalitarianism. Very interesting. You get the audio book. But my question is, with all this heart stuff, you know, you hear about the swelling of the muscle with the myocarditis, pericarditis. But my question is, the cardiac nerves that weave through the heart, how does that relate to myocarditis or the shots themselves? Because I think that's, like, for example, you look at the nerve damage to the face that singer has, Justin Bieber, for example. Now, suppose that happens to the cardiac nerves, for example. You know, so that would be my question, the cardiac nerves.
Well, you know, the heart is, you know, there's a lot of things in cardiology that we've been taught incorrectly. I mean, for one thing, the heart doesn't pump like a box. It more pumps like you're taking a wet rag and wringing it. And so that's really what happens. And it's really has four doors, it has some plumbing, and it has some electrical wiring. And that's about as complex, as simple as you can make heart. You know, you can make it a whole lot more complicated than that, just for the sake of cardiology, but really it's actually a pretty simple organ compared to other organs in the body in terms of anatomy and physiology. But what the COVID shots actually do, it's actually the spike protein that can actually get into the heart muscle itself through the ACE2 receptors and go in and cause inflammation of the cardiomyocytes. And the cardiomyocytes are the muscles, the cells that beat. They are the ones that give you a heartbeat. And what the spike protein does is it goes in and causes inflammation and swelling of those cells. And so it causes them to not beat correctly, which is what can cause arrhythmias and hypertension, the swelling of the heart that doesn't go away, and the long-term complication of myocarditis is really a bad thing. I mean, the five-year survival rate after myocarditis is less than 50%, even under the best of conditions. So when they say that all these kids that are getting myocarditis, and even Dr. Robert Malone himself said, if you've had one shot, you have some level of myocarditis, even if it is asymptomatic. So it's the swelling and the inflammation of the muscle that the nerve runs through that causes you to get atrial fibrillation and sinus tachycardia. And we had a 19-year-old in our clinic that after his second shot, which he was required to get to go to his college of choice, he went into complete AV node arrest, which means his heart didn't connect. The top and the bottom of his heart didn't connect, and they wanted to put in a permanent implantable pacemaker into this 19-year-old. Well, he came to our ECP clinic, which is the address that I gave out, tenpennyecp.com. We started this business about 2 months ago. We've had people already come in from all over the country and get external counter pulsation. It's getting late and I'm kind of tired. The external counter pulsation, which this machine is hooked up to your heart, like with an EKG lead. And when your heart beats, and then the pumps beat, and then your heart, and then the pumps. And the pumps are blood pressure cuffs around each calf, each thigh, and around the lower part of your waist. And it gets six times more oxygen into your heart muscle than if you were running on a treadmill uphill for an hour. It increases nitric oxide. It increases vascular endothelial growth factor, which is a fancy way of saying it causes your body to grow new blood vessels and to grow collateral circulation. We've treated stroke patients, cardiac patients, depression patients. We're treating an Alzheimer's patient right now. We've got a gentleman that had a stroke probably 8 years ago, and we're doing some ECP on his arm. He's starting to get some tingling back in a dead arm that he hasn't had in 8 years. And this is how, when I got involved with this technology, it's an FDA-approved technology that's been around since 1995, and all the cardiologists threw it underneath the bus, including the Cleveland Clinic, because, well, we make much more money doing stents and bypass grafts. And but this is a technology of the future. It's coming from the past. It's sort of like the cars that we knew for many, many, many years that could run 55 miles a gallon on 1 gallon of gas, but they threw that underneath the bus, and they threw Laetrile underneath the bus, and, you know, they criminalized marijuana because the CBD was curing people, and small amounts of THC was curing people, so they made it a Class 4 felony if you had marijuana. And so all of the things that are curable and curing things, they've all been taken away. Well, ECP, I got introduced to this in February of this year, and I said, I'm moving this into a business realm, and we're going to take care of people. We can't cure everybody. We can't take care of everybody, but we're going to take care of as many as we can. And our clinic is open. We're seeing patients already that have driven from Arizona and Tennessee and Virginia and Michigan and Illinois and Colorado. So, yes, you too. You people who live on the east side of Cleveland, you too can drive across town to get a treatment in Middleburg Heights. And I always laugh about that, Pastor Rudy. If I had a dollar for every time somebody has said to me in the last 20 years living in Cleveland, would you please open a clinic on the east side of Cleveland?
I hear you. Sherry, hold it right there. We're up against the heartbreak. Stay right there.
Okay.
And we're going to bring you back for just a minute or two and then let you get that beauty sleep.
Fight the fight.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to WRWL.org. That's WRWL.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.